First Chronicles chapter 4, let's read some verses together. First Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 9. It says this, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow," or with sorrow. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Father, please help us tonight to focus our hearts and minds now on the truth of your word. And we have come to this place as your people in obedience to your word, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. And in this meeting, this assembly, dear God, we want to exalt you and your word, and we want to advance no agenda, but only yours and your kingdom. So please help us to that end, Lord. Speak to our hearts from your word, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we look again at this text tonight, I think it's very helpful to include just a few words of introduction in the form of a caveat. Because, you know, Jabez may not be as forgotten as some of the other forgotten faithful we've covered in this series just because of a very, very popular book that was published in 2001, The Prayer of Jabez. How many of you have heard of it? Raise your hands. Oh, wow. How many have read it? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you liked it? No, don't raise your hands. The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson became a huge, huge phenomenon, really, bestseller into the millions and millions of copies. And it has since launched a whole bunch of spinoffs. There's the Prayer of Jabez for Women. There's the Prayer of Jabez Music. There's the Prayer of Jabez Devotional. The Prayer of Jabez Journal. There's also lots of Prayer of Jabez merchandise, including scented candles, Prayer of Jabez Christmas ornaments, Prayer of Jabez jewelry. There's a Prayer of Jabez mouse pad I saw. And, of course, you can buy an oil painting by this Christian artist on what he thinks Jabez looks like, at least in his mind. You see that right there? Those are my eyes rolling back in my head. I'm just kidding. Now, there's a lot of good things in that book. There were some truths, some obvious truths in Bruce Wilkinson's book. But the problem with the book, which maybe some of you who read it and maybe some of you who read it enthusiastically have learned since reading it and trying to apply it, is that it's presented as a sort of formula, like a mantra. It basically says you just repeat the words, repeat as prayer. Because the book really doesn't say pray like Jabez, it says pray what Jabez prayed. And if you just repeat it three times a day or whatever, you'll get miracles. You'll get stuff. You know, it's interesting. People love to quote James chapter 4 and verse 2. "Ye have not because ye ask not." In fact, let me read it to you exactly. "Ye have not because ye ask not." They love to quote that and say, well, the reason you don't have more things and more answers to prayer is because you don't ask. And there's some truth to that. But they act as though, and that's kind of one of the themes in the book. There's a story about going to heaven, and there's all these things that they could have had. They had their name on it, but they forgot to ask for it. But it's presented as though that's the only reason you don't have things, because you don't ask. But they never include verse 3 when they teach that or preach that, which says, "Ye ask and receive not." Here's another reason. People who do ask, they ask all the time. They ask in the words of the Prayer of Jabez over and over and over again. It says, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So just because you ask for something, it could be that you're being selfish about it. And so not surprisingly, when the book came out in 2000, of course I read it, and the prosperity Pentecostal folks just grabbed a hold of it, the prosperity gospel. And they absolutely loved it. There even became a famous line. There's even a t-shirt that says, "Do you Jabez?" There goes my eyes rolling the back of my head again. Whatever. It's kind of ridiculous. And unfortunately, the false teaching that's out there that's been layered upon since that book, not by Bruce but by others, has led a lot of believers to ignore the actual text altogether. And that's tragic, because this story is truly, it is truly a remarkable and very helpful text as an example for us in the Word of God. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Word of God. Look, folks, the Prayer of Jabez came out, it was published in 2000. I looked at my archives. I preached a sermon on the Prayer of Jabez in 1988. Spurgeon has a wonderful sermon on the Prayer of Jabez from the 19th century. This was written in Chronicles thousands of years ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Multnomah Publishing doesn't own the rights to this text. They just own the rights to a pretty bad presentation of this text. So now it's with that in mind that we look at the Scriptures. And I want you to glance at 1 Chronicles. Just kind of scan the page. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And then scan your eyes across to chapter 3. What do you see? What do you see in chapter 4? Names. A lot of names. And nothing but names, as in the form of a genealogy. And it's helpful in a genealogical and historical context. And of course, this all begins actually with more names in chapter 1. There are six full chapters. Think about this. Six full chapters in the Bible of nothing but one name after another, who begot who, and the generations and so forth. However, in the midst of all of these chapters, in the midst of all of these dozens of dozens and dozens of names, suddenly in chapter 4, there's one particular name, and only one, where God has chosen to pause and to elaborate on one man. In other words, in a genealogy of generations that covers decades and decades and decades, centuries, there's one man in the entire genealogy that God did not want to simply record the name. The Holy Spirit decided to comment on this man. Spurgeon called him a brick of gold in the midst of a thousand cobblestones, or like an oasis in a desert. You know, it's almost as if, you know, our teachers used to do that, put little important things in a bunch of superfluous reading, and he would make sure we read all of it to catch that one important thing that was on the test. And, you know, if you're like one of those, you know, oh yeah, it's my Bible reading time, genealogy, 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 well, you would miss this brick of gold, wouldn't you? But we want to miss it tonight. Because not only does God elaborate and comment on the man, he does so by honoring the man's actions. Verse 9 again. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now think about that for a moment. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. What a wonderful statement for the God of heaven to include in his eternal word. And it's fortunate for us tonight that God also chose to include in his eternal word the reason why he's highlighted and spotlighted as more honorable than all of his brethren. He's recognized as someone special, an exception to the rule of all of these names, for a specific reason. That reason is found at the very beginning of verse 10. Jabez, it says, called on the God of Israel. In other words, the first and the one thing that Jabez was set apart for from everybody else, at least as recorded in Scripture, is that Jabez was a praying man. He knew who to call on, and he called on the God of Israel. And that same distinction sets men and women apart to this very night, including, I will add, men and women in this room. There are believers in this room who, in an exceptional way, know how to pray. Jabez is a reminder to me and convicts me about the fact that God delights to hear and answer the prayers of his people. And one of the reasons we know that is because of what it says in the last line of verse 10. And, look at it, the last line, God granted him that which he requested. Beloved, God loves to hear your prayers. He loves to answer the prayers of his people. By his own testimony, he granted Jabez everything that he asked for, at least in this context, in text. So guess what? That means whatever Jabez prayed about and wanted from God, whatever it was that he was requesting, well, God wasn't against it. God was for it, at least at this time with that man in that place. God was for it. And you know what we should do tonight and are going to do tonight is examine what it was he asked for. I mean, it's enough for us if all it said was, this is the only man in the entire chronology I'm going to bring out, and these are for the exiles to encourage the exiles. So they put this little diamond here to encourage those exiles. But if the only thing we knew was that he prayed, that would be amazing in itself. That'd be enough for us to ponder. By the way, you may notice there's a tiny little biographical information given about Jabez's mother. Verse 9. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Jabez is a Hebrew word, literally means sad, sorrowful. That's his name. Can you imagine the roll call in third grade? Micah, here. Abraham, here. Sad, here. Right? What's your name, little fella? My name is Sorrow. And of course, we don't know necessarily what sorrow the baby Jabez caused his mother at childbirth. Only that she gave birth at a time of pain and sorrow. It could have been physical. I mean, all mothers give birth in pain. So we don't know. It could have been an unusually painful labor. It could have been emotional. It was during a painful time in her life that Jabez came into her world. The father's not listed, so that makes you wonder. Whatever the case, this negative reality that was with his name every day growing up, this negative fact did not prevent this man from becoming more honorable than his brothers. I mean, look, folks, maybe his brother's names were Glory and Goodness. Hi, Glory. Hi, Goodness. Hi, Sadness. In other words, the biographical detail that we're told about Jabez in Scripture reminds us that Jabez may have had a disadvantage early on for a long time on, but it didn't disqualify him. The tears of his mother at the beginning, God turned to honor at the ending. And that is a detail that God wanted us to know. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible. So I'm reminded, listen, whatever your past, your future is spotless. And God did that for this young man. Which brings us again to this prayer. Because not only was God willing to grant what he asked for, but also he considered him honorable for being an asker. Dr. Rice has a book called Prayer is Asking. It's a book this thick on prayer. And the title is Prayer is Asking. And the entire book goes to the Scripture to show that what prayer really is asking. Hebrews 11:6 says that it pleases God. Matter of fact, it says to please God, you have to believe that he is. How many of you believe that God is, that there's a God and he lives? Yeah. Okay, that's first. That's not enough. The devils believe and tremble. The Scripture says if you want to please God, you have to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. He answers those who diligently seek him in prayer. That pleases God. No wonder he was pleased by Jabez. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 18, he spake a parable unto them, quote, to this end. That always struck me every time since I was a teenager when I would read. He spake a parable unto them, to this end. To what end did Jesus speak that parable? To the end, it says, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Lord gave a story, gave a parable that had one great calling, one great purpose, to the end that men ought always to pray. And don't get discouraged. Don't quit praying. Don't faint. We know that James says, "You have not because ye ask not." Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." That's how you get protection. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop. Because you're not getting this list of things. That's what I mean by some of you may have read that book, got discouraged because you did the formula, you thought. God is a God who loves to hear and loves to answer the prayers of His children. You know, Jesus said, and this resonates with me as a father of three boys, Jesus said, if we as sinful fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, and I enjoyed it, I relished it when the boys would ask me for something that was good for them. He said, if we as sinful fathers know how to give good things to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things unto us? If it's good for us tonight, and if it's timely, for one thing you know for sure, He wants you to ask. And then secondly, if it's timely and good for you, He wants to give it to you. And Jabez prayed for four things that were good. God granted them. All of these things we ought to see as good as well and seek God for them when God speaks to our heart about it. For example, what are they? Number one, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren because he asked for God's power in his life. It's blessing. Look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now, I'm sure you've noticed how sometimes students will work very hard to get and receive the blessing of their teacher. Apple polisher, whatever. Or their principal. There are some students, I mean, they know how to do it. And they work hard at getting their blessing. Why do they do that? Well, because they want the influence of the teacher and the principal behind them. Sometimes you'll see children work and strive to have their parents' blessing on their friends. I want my parents, or their college choice, or their marriage. It's wise because they want their parents' blessing, their support, their help, their money, whatever. Sometimes employees will go the extra mile to earn and win their boss's blessing.
Well, not me.
They want the boss and his power and influence to be on their side so that they can exert a greater opportunity. And if you're among those, I'm not like that at all, let me just remind you, that's what Daniel did. He sought the blessing of the king when appropriate. Jacob sought the blessing of his uncle. Esther sought the blessing of Ahasuerus. And so it goes. And the reason is, it's a blessing to have their blessing. However, how much greater then, right? Those are carnal examples. How much greater to seek and desire the favor and the blessing of the God of creation? How much greater to have His power in your corner, on your side, when you're fighting sin and the flesh and spiritual enemies? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And I know that I'm speaking to folks tonight, a people who ought to be seeking and praying and crying out to God for that same kind of divine blessing and power. Look, would you rather have your boss in your corner, or would you rather have God in your corner? Seek it. And God was pleased when David prayed to be anointed with fresh oil, a fresh anointing of God's power and blessing. God will be pleased tonight if we at Beacon Baptist Church would seek His blessing, would call upon God for His power and His favor, and pray, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless us indeed." Not for our glory, but for His glory, for His kingdom. Jabez was more honorable because he called upon the God of Israel asking for God's power. Number two, And it's right here, and this is all through the Bible. He also asked for God's provision. Verse 10 again. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast." Little phrase, "enlarge my coast," means to increase my lot. Why? Because land in Israel was the gauge of a person's influence and wealth. And if your motive is right, I want God to enlarge my coast so that I can reach more people, or so that I can be financially free to be able to help missionary, whatever. If your motive is right, of course. To increase one's lot or enlarge one's coast meant to literally increase your influence and your provision. We live in a lot here, about 120 by 100. It's all the lot I want because it has to be mowed, right? But if some guy on the Loxahatchee River came and said, "Hey, Pastor Blair, I have a lot. You want it? It's free." I'd be crazy not to take it. Or if it's on the beach. Because the larger the coast, the greater the provision, and sometimes the greater the influence for glory and for God. And you can say what you want, but Jabez prayed for provision. Now look, you know this. You know that from this pulpit, we deplore the prosperity gospel. You will never see me wearing 5 Rolexes over here and driving a Rolls, unless it's somebody else's and they gave me the key to take it for a spin, which would be a mistake, I'm sure. We deplore that kind of greed, that kind of materialism, the health and wealth, because money is no sign, no necessary sign of spiritual blessing. Poverty is no necessary sign of God's disfavor either. That's what's wrong with the formula thing. That God wants you all to have it and all of us. It ignores the fact that sometimes afflictions are where we learn to grow and glorify God the most. But look, it's a small thing, folks. It is a small thing for God to reach down and bless your business, your job, your endeavor, your educational pursuits. That's a little thing for God to do. And you don't think as your father, God wants you to do that? My father would come to my little league football games and baseball games, and he would just yearn for me to hit a home run or a double or to catch a pass. That's natural if you love a child. If you're here tonight and you have financial material needs, God wants you to call on him. And let me add that God wants you to call on him first and foremost. Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." God wants us to ask for provision and to be known for praying people. I remember reading a while back the story of a British soldier trying to sneak back to his quarters. And it was late into the night, and in the heat of the battle, a fierce battle, he didn't know it, but other soldiers saw him coming back that one night. Didn't say a whole lot about it, but the next night, he did the same thing. He went out from the camp. Nobody knew where. It was just in the dark of night. But they had told the commanding officer. This time, the commanding officer was waiting for him while he crept in. And immediately, he was accused of holding communication with the enemy. He denied it, of course. And his commander said, "Well, then what were you doing?" And he said, "Sir, I was praying. Praying." The commander said, "And I suppose you pray alone, all by yourself, all of these nights that you've been going out in the dead of night." And he said, "Yes, sir, in the woods I pray for victory with little loss of life." And the commanding officer yelled, "Then you better get on your knees and pray right now, because traitors on the front lines don't get trials. They get executed." And that young boy fell to his knees and he began to pray. And as he prayed, he poured out his heart to God. It only took a couple minutes, and the commander told him to stand up. And to the other soldiers' surprise, he told the boy that he was fine to go, because he said, I believe your story. If you hadn't drilled so often, you wouldn't have prayed like that at review. In other words, I could tell you're a praying young man. And people ought to know that we're praying people. More than that, God ought to know it. And you ought to know it. The very next day, the enemy surrendered and the soldier received the only commendation up until then the British ever gave for prayer. It ought to be, as in the case of Jabez, that God gives us a commendation for prayer. That's what God's doing. He's commending Jabez for being a praying man. He asked for his coast to be enlarged. Now look, that can be dangerous if you're selfish and greedy and covetous and materialistic. But if that were the case, God would not have honored him. In this case, he does. God is not interested in your greed, but he is always interested in your need because he's your father. Is it a car? A job? A promotion? A major decision? Whatever it is, ask God. Believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ask God and keep on asking until you know his will. Jesus talked about the importunate neighbor. Keep asking until you know his will. Number three, Jabez prayed for God's power, God's provision. Interestingly, he prayed about God's presence. Look again, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that and that thine hand might be with me. Now look, I know that for a Christian, God never truly leaves our presence. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee as a child of God. But I also know what David meant when he prayed, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I know what Jesus meant when he said, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. And I know what Paul meant when he feared that he might become a castaway. I know what they meant. They meant that God's hand, God's presence, God's guidance and approval can be absent from our day-to-day lives. And Jabez prayed along with King David that God's hand would be with him in his life. You know, it's a world of difference to face a new day in this changing world when you know and you experience the presence of God in your life. Why not make that a part of your prayer? How many thousands of times I have prayed before, just before walking to the pulpit or at a funeral or walking into a hospital room or hospice or a business meeting, a counseling session, a visit at someone's home, a wedding, an appointment. How many thousands and thousands of times I've cried out in my heart the same simple four words, Lord, be with me. Now, don't you know he's with you, Pastor? I pray, Lord, be with me. Meaning, help me to know that you're with me. Lord, be with me. I don't know how theologically ideal and biblically perfect those words are or are not, but I know what I mean by them. And I mean that I want God's hand with me, and I want to know that his hand is with me. You know, I would rather know that God's unseen hand is with me than to know that President Trump's visible hand is with me. Wouldn't you? Oh, that thine hand might be with me. Jabez prayed for his power, his provision, his presence. And finally, he also prayed for his protection. Now, I'll remind you that in the Lord's model prayer, he told us the same thing. Deliver us from evil. Jesus said to pray that daily. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Someone says, preacher, which evil? Is it the evil of sin or the evil of trouble? The answer is really actually probably both. Because both are presented in Scripture as objects of our prayer. Jabez wanted God's protection. And again, folks, I think our Lord is grieved when his children first seek the protection of law enforcement, the protection of government or money or numbers, when we ought to first and foremost always ask for God's protection. It's a reminder for Christians that to stay up worrying and fretting when you should be getting on your knees and praying, that's a reproach. For a believer just to worry and hand-wring constantly when we have so many promises in the Bible, and in addition to the promises, we have this huge open door into the throne room of God. And we're told to pray for protection and then trust him. And it's a reproach when we just live our lives in worry. The Bible says, casting your cares upon him. When are you going to do that? When you're on your knees. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And folks, if there's one prayer that is repeated over and over again, especially in the book of Psalms, you'll remember it's David's prayer for protection. Deliver me, defend me, save me, David prayed. And that's why the most oft-repeated praise in the Psalms is David's praise for God's protection. See, you're going to praise God a lot, like David did, when you pray a lot for protection and help and guidance. Prayer always, always leads to praise. People don't praise and have a lot of gratitude, you can guarantee they're not in the prayer closet very often. Unless they're in the prayer closet whining about other people. David's confidence and trust and assurance was born not in the battle, but on his knees. And so Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren because he called on the God of Israel and asked for protection. Think about it. You go to chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles, genealogy, name after name after name after name, no comment on any names. Chapter 2, name. So-and-so begot so-and-so. Sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin and Jerob and Zerah and Shaul and Shalom, the son of Mibsam and his son Mishma and his son and the sons of Mishma. And it goes like this in chapter 3. It's all genealogy. And Realial, the son of Shobab, begot Jahath, and it goes like that all through chapter 4, all genealogy. But what's this? It's going to go on in chapter 5 and chapter 6. But what is this beautiful diamond in the middle of chapter 4 where God interrupts the reading, interrupts the writing, interrupts the entire thought to put a spotlight on a single name, Jabez? It was not Jabez's name. It was his prayer and his faith, his life of prayer that God was honoring. It was his cry, his regular cry out to God. He called upon God and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I wonder if God's been waiting to hear from you in this way. Your child. And I wonder how long it's been since you cried out from your knees or in a prayer closet or in your car somewhere for the blessing of God, for his power or his provision, his protection, his presence to be felt and known, his hand. All the things that God is pleased to hear from his own. So that, you know, if God were to go through the names, think about this. If we had a roll call of Beacon Baptist, through all the names of those at Beacon Baptist Church, and on row 4, seat 7, sits Robinson Grusso, and on row 7, seat, and they just go through all the names, would God stop? I mean, how amazing would it be if God would stop and say, oh, this one was more honorable than all the others. because he prayed to me. And he asked me for things because he believed that I am a rewarder of them that seek me. This one's more honorable than the rest because he sought my face and asked for things that were good, and I granted them. Even though his name was undoubtedly a handicap in his early years of life, he became more honorable. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful tonight for your word, and we are grateful for the reminder that you are a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And dear Father, this example that you give us, this forgotten faithful who was highlighted by you and held up by you in this long list of names because he was more honorable in the way he prayed and sought you. May it be a reminder to us, Lord, that you love to hear from your people, your children. And may we come to you every day recognizing that we are your children, and that as a father, you will grant things to us when they are in your will and for your good pleasure and for our benefit, so that afterwards, Lord, we will glorify you when we are protected, and we will glorify you when our coast is enlarged, and we will glorify you when we know your presence, and we will be glorifying you because we have a courage and boldness in answer to those prayers. Bless your people to that end. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.